take your Bibles and find the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. Last week we looked at the first, I think it was 9 verses, and we really talked about as God is preparing Joshua. Of course, he prepared him because Joshua was willing to be in that position of following God's man Moses at the time. And the Bible tells us that Joshua ministered to Moses. And through that ministering to Moses, he learned some lessons. He learned how to trust God. And through that, that's what we each need to do is we are living this Christian life as we follow the Word of God. He's going to raise us up and He's going to give us the courage to stand even when it's difficult. And I can't imagine being given the task that Joshua was given when the Lord said, hey, look, I want you to go across the Jordan and the land of Canaan. I want you to go take every city. And I can imagine just what kind of weight that would be on his shoulders. But because he knew God and he'd already learned to trust God, it wasn't as difficult as it would be for me, maybe. Because he already knew. He'd seen the battles. He'd been in the battles. He took the stands. And he was willing to do it the same again. And of course, God told him just to be strong and good courage. He said, I'll be with you. I'll go before you. He said, don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Just keep on going. Keep your focus on me. And he told him to meditate on the Word of God and not depart from it. And he would have good success or be prosperous. And that's the same that we can have. If we're looking to the Lord in every condition, every situation, we can have success. Now, it may not be the world's success. We may not have $1 million like some of the ball players today. And I don't even want to go that rabbit trail, but anyway, let's go on. But but we can have success because God is on our side. And He's going to take care of us. He's going to lift us up. When we were singing that song, Leave It There, those 4 verses, I was thinking about those 4 verses. And I was thinking about, that's me. Old age, can't get going, can't move anymore, can't do this, can't do, you know, God's there. Leave it there. Trust Him. And that's what we all have to learn to do. And that's what Joshua has learned, and he's still, he's trying to follow the Lord and do exactly what He says. So we're coming to a part now where it's verse 10. We're going to begin reading there and go all the way down to verse 18. That'll finish the chapter out, I believe. Yep. And then we'll see what God has for him in the next section here. In verse 10 it says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days we shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side, Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side, Jordan, toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as he hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Let's pray. Father, again, we take this admonition of be strong and good courage, for we need it as well today. Now, our battle is not the same exactly as Joshua. You've not commanded us to cross the river Jordan, but we live in Jordan. Or excuse me, not in Jordan, but we live in the Promised Land. For the Promised Land is a land of testing. It's not the land that we look for one day when we're in heaven. But it's a land where Israel is going to possess, and God is going to allow them to be tested in their lives. And Father, we're in that land today. That's why we're here on this earth, is to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be willing to submit to you and trust you in every area of our life. And it's a training that each one of us need to learn And each one of us is doing that. And we're learning at different rates and through different circumstances. But Father, we know your purpose in our life and your plan. And just like Joshua is assuming to do what you've asked him to do, trusting you, I pray that each one of us will trust you as well. We thank you for the word of God tonight, and we pray you bless us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, number one, he began the preparation. He's preparing Joshua. He already talked to him. He commissioned him in the first couple chapters, and he kind of told him as well to prepare him that there was something going on, something to do. And he did that by telling him to follow him, not turn from the right or left. But here he's preparing to actually go across the River Jordan. He's getting ready. He's getting the people ready. In verse 10 says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And so he's commanding the officers to get ready. Go tell everybody. Go through the host of people and tell them that we're going to cross this river. We're actually going to get to do it. Now, 40 years ago, they had the opportunity. But they didn't do it because they couldn't trust God. And God pretty much weeded out all those people that were against him until he had those that seen God work and could trust him. And he put a leader in place that he knew would trust. And so they needed to be prepared for this. And he told them they needed to be prepared physically. They had to have supplies on hand. He told them to get victuals ready. And so they were to get those ready for 3 days. And that was their food supplies. And they would need strength to carry this job out. They would be marching, camping, fighting. They would be in the midst of a difficult situation that required some physical strength. And so he told them, prepare. They also need to be mentally ready. He told them to go and possess the land. And of course, I'm sure he shared with him that God had given him this counsel, because they said in the last, verse 17, according as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee, only the Lord thy God be with thee. He's saying, as the Lord leads you, we're ready to go. And they needed that. And that's spiritually as well. They needed to know that God was with them physically, mentally, and spiritually. And, of course, we know that God has given us the mental ability to do what we have to do. He tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. We have a sound mind through the Word of God. And you know there's many people out today that do not have a sound mind, and they make their decisions or base their decisions on the world's philosophy and what they believe about it. And we have the wisdom of God right here in our hands. And we can take it and study it and find out, what does God want us to do about this situation or whatever situation we're in? And so God was going to use Joshua, and he was going to use him for this task at hand, and he was ready to do it. Now, spiritually, the Lord God said that he giveth you to possess it. He told him, he says, I'm giving you this land to possess it. In fact, in verse 11, it says, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. So spiritually, he told them, he says, you're going to have this. This is yours. This is yours. If God tells us that he's going to give us something, can we trust him for that? Can we trust him that he will do and deliver what he says? Yes, we can. And that's exactly what he's trying to prepare the people to do, is understand that it's God who's doing the work. It's God who's going to deliver us. It's God, but we have to trust him. It's like you have a weapon and you're in battle. If you don't trust that weapon or believe it'll work, you might not even fire it. And if you don't fire it, what do you think is going to happen? You're probably going to get shot. You're probably going to lose that battle. So just like trusting that weapon and shooting those bullets, we trust God knowing that he's going to take care of us, and he's going to see us through the battle, see us through the situation. And he wants to do that. And they were assured the victory. He told them he would give them that in verses 2 through 5. We'll not go back there, but he said, you can have the victory. And so we as Christians, we have to think about this. And as we look at this, we try to apply this to our lives, that we also need to be prepared physically. We need the strength to stay in the battle. Mentally, we need to know that we have the victory. Spiritually, we need to be assured that God is on our side. We're doing what God says. And if you're doing what God says, you can win. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 through 11, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, as it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God." He's saying we can have it all by trusting God, putting our faith in what God tells us to do. And I think about that. Part of the way we do that is we have to take God's word and we have to look at it and say, how can we be prepared? Well, we all know that Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we're in a battle and that we can be prepared. In fact, Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And so we know who the enemy is. The enemy is not flesh and blood, but it's those principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Those are our enemies. And so when we see who the enemy is, we understand who the enemy is, we can be prepared to fight the enemy. In fact, God tells us, and we know Satan is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. God tells us if we draw nigh unto him or resist the devil and draw nigh unto him, the devil is going to flee from us. We have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the power, and we can trust him to see us through this. And it's important that we always look to him whenever we're in situations because he's there for us and he wants to be there for us. Chapter 15, verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's just stating there that we have the victory already. It's already bought for us. When Jesus died on the cross, he bought the victory for every single individual, every single human. Those who accept what he did on the cross will have the victory. Those who do not will not. And so that encourages me. That gives me strength. When I go through times of difficulties, it reminds me that God's on my side. And no matter what I'm going through, he's going to provide the victory or the way for me to get through this. I was telling Brandy, Josh was telling me today, he says, little Josh, he says, "Yeah, I lifted 40 pounds. And I thought, well, you're stronger than I am. I can lift 8 maybe, and it's about too much for me. And when you think about that, sometimes you get discouraged. You know, I could press 200 pounds years ago. Now, I was a lot younger then. But now I can't press 16. That's bad. And you think, wow, what's going to happen? If some bully comes up and throws dirt in my face, what am I going to do? Please don't hit me. Nothing really. But the point is that I also look back and think, you know what? I've made progress. Before I couldn't lift 5 pounds. Now I can lift 8. So I'm getting better. And maybe next year I can lift 20 or 30 or 40. Maybe 40 like Josh. But nonetheless, God, we can trust him, and we can trust him to see us through it. He gave confirmation. He told the two and a half tribes, when they were on the other side of Jordan, they saw the land, they saw that it was beautiful, and they wanted to stay there. And God told Moses, they can do it with this exception. And that exception is that the men would have to go fight the battles when they crossed Jordan until it was done. And that was the only reason God allowed them to do that. So there's 2.5 tribes that are going to stay on the other side. And that's what Joshua was reminding them of here. He's saying, "And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord hath given your brother rest and hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return in the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising." And that was all given in Numbers chapter 32. We'll not go there. But again, he just giving a confirmation to the other Israelites that you're not alone. Those other three tribes or 2.5 tribes are going to help you. So you have all these people that are going to go, and they're going because they're commanded of God, and their leader is a man of God, and he's going to follow, and God's going to do the work. And as we get down through the passages and through Joshua, we see that time and again how God did miraculous things for the children of Israel. It was His power. It wasn't by their might, but it was by God's. And it's the same for us today. And so He gave them confirmation about some things. We have confirmation about things as well. I shared this, I think, probably last week. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, when you think about confirmation, we all need it. I need to be confirmed over and over again in my mind that I'm doing right, I'm following God. And how do I know that? Well, I know that by studying the Bible, finding out what the Bible has to say about what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to live. And here we see in 2 Peter chapter 1, again, this passage we shared, I think, on Sunday. He tells us in verse 3, he says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." So he's saying that we have this divine powers through Jesus Christ. And it's by the Spirit of God that we have. And it has pertaining to this life we're living and godliness. There's not a Christian who can stand and say, "There's no way I can be godly." Because I would tell you, if that's true, you probably don't have the Spirit of God in you. Because the Spirit of God says, "Yes, you can. Yes, we can." And it's by His power. I can't do it on my own now. You say, "Can you do this or do that?" No, I struggle. But you know what? God's power can give me the ability to accomplish. Why? Because it's His will. And so he goes on and says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature." You and I have the divine nature. What is that nature? It's the Spirit of God that resides in us. It's what God looks down through the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees a saint instead of a sinner. We have that. You know, that's something to shout about. That's something to get excited about. To know that you've got the divine nature. That you're different. And it's not because you think you're better than somebody else. It's the fact that you accepted Christ as your Savior, and God thought so much of you personally that He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. The divine nature. He says, "Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." He says, we can have victory over lust. He goes on and says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." So he gives us a list, and so we say, how do we practically do these things? How are we to do them? Well, first off, you do it with the divine nature and the Spirit of God. But then you look at these things that he's telling us about, this expressed new life. When you think about virtue, you think about more excellent or character. You build godly character in your life. That's what virtue is. Knowledge. Knowledge is just understanding what the Word of God says and apply it to your life. Temperance, having that self-discipline or strength that's under control. I always reminded of the example that was given to me years ago by, and it's in the Bible as well, how just a little bridle can take and control a horse. That's amazing to me. I don't know about you, but I'm not real friendly with horses, or they're not real friendly with me. And when I was a kid, I used to ride some when I lived in Texas, but just that was, you go out to where there's horses that you can rent and ride, and they always know where to go. You just get on them and just, you know, you just can hang on, and they go where they're supposed to go, and they come back to the barn when it's time to come back to the barn. Anyway, they're big animals, and they can be controlled by that little bit. Well, we're big people. Because you know what? God can control us by allowing the Spirit of God in our lives to let it happen. And that's what He wants to do. Patience is being steadfast in our calling, not giving up. Godliness, and this again talks about just being Christ-like. Not religious, but genuine Christianity. In other words, surrendering to God, submitting to God, being under authority, repenting when you do wrong, and ask God to give you direction, and He will. Brotherly kindness, that's the love of Christians. To love each other and to be able to forgive. I've heard many times people state, even Christians state, "I could never forgive that." And in fact, I heard it just recently. And I said, well, if you can never forgive that, my Bible says, when they were talking, the disciples wanted to know how to pray, He told them the last part of that. He says, if you do not forgive others, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. That's a pretty strong statement. I tell you, I don't want to be in that position. So we have to learn to forgive each other. And then charity, that speaks of the sacrificial love that really focuses on others than yourself. So if we do these things, then verse 8 he says, for if these things be in you, so as the divine nature has already taken place, you're saved, and as you start adding to your life these things and striving to them by the power of God, not by what you can do by yourself, but by the power of God, he says, and abound, he says, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying you're going to understand Jesus. You're going to understand him in a greater, deeper way. You know, Paul did. He understood Jesus in a greater, deeper way. In fact, that's what he said in Philippians chapter 3. And we'll just go there for a second. Sorry. But he said here, in verse 10, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, everlasting life, the strength, the fellowship of his sufferings. Understand what it is to be nailed to a cross. And Paul knew this. He shared that with us in Corinthians about the times that he had suffered persecution and the things that went on in his life. He knew the deeper meaning of what it was to know God, know Jesus Christ. And that's what's going to happen to each one of us as we continue to grow closer to Christ, and we'll all be set in order when we see him for sure. But we need this today. Because we're in the battle. We're in the battlefront. We need all these things right now. We need them to help us, to strengthen us, to be what God wants us to be able to discern and have wisdom. Today, there's so much, so many different opinions that abound, and their opinions often are just some ideas that they come up with or what they think about. And it's just getting silly. I mean, when you listen and step back from society today, just listen to the rhetoric. Listen to the things they're talking about, like tearing down statues. What is the purpose in that? I want to erase my memory. So, are we computers or something? Let's tear down the statue so we'll never think about it again. You know, that doesn't make sense to me. We had a history. And the history, you just can't tear it down and wipe it away. You have to live with the history. It's the same thing with the consequences of sin or a Christian. You have to live in the consequences. So what do? You move on. You don't just keep, well, that offends me. Man, so many people are getting offended by nothing. You know, I mean, it's crazy. I don't even understand it. It just, every time I hear something else, I think, what are we doing? Where are we going with this? Why are people being such babies? Because we've raised them to be babies. In the colleges today, you know, the professors in the college today are those 60s and 70s people that ran around and promoted the love-ins and the rebellion. And I'm not saying some of the things they were trying to do were wrong, but I'm saying that the philosophy they generated has ended up in their colleges, and the professors are the ones who are teaching these things. And it's getting silly to the point where they have free speech zones. I heard on the radio yesterday, and I don't know why I'm bringing all this up, but because it makes me mad, I guess. But anyway, students were kicked out of school for carrying the Constitution. Explain that to me. Explain that. You know, you can go to a school or college, and the professor can get up there and he can swear, use four-letter words that I'm offended by, and get away with it. But if you carry the Constitution, they're going to throw you out of school. That makes no sense. So what's this world coming to? It's coming to a place where we're going to be in the battle. And that's why God, I think, told Joshua when he went over to the River Jordan, says, take care of all those people. Now, we're not out to kill people. Don't get me wrong. We're out to win them to the Lord. But he wanted to take care of them because he knew that they would destroy Israel and tear them down because we're so easily influenced. You know, there are Christians today that keep wanting to bring up the evolution thing. And they want to come away with we got to believe in science, which is evolution is not science. Don't ever think it is. It started out as a theory. It's still a theory. And that's all it is. But they want to take that, Christians, and mingle it with the Bible and come away with some kind of different doctrine. I'm telling you, it's going to be prevalent in the days to come. And more you hear of it, the more people are going to submit to it because they're tired of the battle. Joshua prepared. He prepared his men just like we need to be prepared because the battle is going to get tougher as we continue down this road. Lastly, we see a dedication. Look at verse 16 through 18. Again, it says, and they answered Joshua saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. And so they were putting their faith in God that Joshua was the man of God and was going to lead in the right place. And it says, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things. Now, if we went back and looked at that, they didn't hearken to Moses in all things. They got a short memory too, don't they? But nonetheless, they are saying that as we followed Moses, we're going to follow you. And I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but hopefully we'll see as we go along. So we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. And then you see the last part. They're dedicating their lives. They're saying, we're going to serve God. We're going to follow you. We're going to trust you. We're going to believe that you know what you're doing. And so we're going to do all those things that you call us to do. And so they were sanctified, surrendered, and submitted. They were willing, able, and ready. And they're going to go do this battle. But then the last statement here, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment. Now, what does that mean? What does that say? That's right. If they rebel against God's commandment, that's what it's saying. And will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, and this is through Joshua, he shall be what? Aren't you glad that today, when we don't hearken to God, he doesn't put us to death? I'll tell you, I would have died death over and over and over again, many times over. I'm glad he doesn't do that today. But then finally, he said to him, only be strong and of good courage. So he's telling him that this is going to be a difficult thing, but God's in it. And I want you to know again today, if God is in it, then you have victory. And when he tells us to cast our care upon him, all our care, because he careth for us, he's not just saying words. He's telling the truth. And if you'll cast your care upon him, he will minister to you. Now, don't get the idea that there's some big flashing light coming down and it's like a cone and just overlays you and says, here am I, I'm going to heal you or something like that. That's not the way he's going to work. He's going to take people that he is going to actually guide and direct in your life to help you and encourage you. When Jesus left, God's plan was to use people. Why? Through the Spirit of God, of course, because that's who's here. And he's given us the task that he left behind. He was the light of the world, but he told us that we are the light of the world. And so we have an opportunity. Be strong and good courage. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for Joshua, his willingness to serve you. And Father, help each one of us as we're on the training ground trying to learn. And I know that as we grow older, we continue to strive, and sometimes we get weary. Father, help us not to give up. Help us not to quit. Help us to keep our eyes on you, no matter what physical, mental, or other difficulty we might be in. But we can look to you knowing that we serve a mighty God and that he's in control of our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.